We're not sure if this is going to be classed as a sermon or if this is going to be classed as a Bible study or a discussion. I'll let you decide. But this is just something that was on my heart this week. And it's been growing, I guess, just the way my wife and I think. What's behind the sayings in some of Scripture? What's behind it? Why did they say what they said even? What did the prophets, when they said many things, what was behind the reason they said what they said? Have you ever wondered that? Well, I have this computer program at home that I can bring up all these words and phrases, and then they send you into all over Scripture, all over the place. And suddenly this study got big, and I thought, what am I supposed to do here? I can only bring so much. So I narrowed it down to this. It's important for us to know what is said and why it's said. So we're going to take a look at two very familiar scriptures, all right? Two very familiar ones. And what's behind them. When Moses met God at the burning bush, something very major happened that followed throughout all of the Torah. What's the Torah? The first five books of Moses. Okay? But we're going to call the Old Testament. It followed through everything. When God met Moses at the burning bush, something came out of that that was monumental. God gave him his name. He said, I am is my name. I am. That word means to be eternally existent, to exist. And Moses took that with him for the rest of his life. He taught his people, he instructed them that God said, I am. It means to be eternally, eternally existent. But it also had other things as well in it. There can be judgment, there can be protection, and he's the true God of all nations. Does anyone here have a name quite like that? I don't think we do, do we? One of the things that God mentions in Leviticus was he says, I am holy. So he asks us to be holy. Anyone here done any word studies and know what it means to be holy? I mean, pastor's going through this with us. He's teaching us to be well-grounded in the word. So when someone says, as born-again Christians, we are holy, what's he referring to? Can anyone give me, what does it mean in God's view to be holy? Okay, to live like Jesus did. Okay, that's a very good answer. It's to be separate. This building is holy. It's set apart for God's use. God wants you and me to be set apart for his use. Okay? It means to be separated unto something. Jesus called himself the great I am. How many of you remember the verse where he said this? Anyone? Can you think of it? I am the way, the truth, and the life. The first two words was a hidden message of who he was. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. Here's how I see God projecting himself here. There's a progression here that first you got to get in his way, in his path, in his road. You want to be going in the direction God wants you to go. And you get there by adhering to the truth that is God himself. Truth is something that never changes, irregardless of political forces, military forces, eras in history. Truth remains the truth. It never changes. It doesn't matter whether it's back in Moses' day or our day. Truth never changes. When you get in the way, when you subscribe to the truth, then you find the life that God has planned for you. The songs we sung this morning, I was just about coming out of my chair here. You see, God's life, he wants it to be seen in each one of us. He wants you to know where you're going in him. He wants you to know his truth with never changes, and he'll give you the life that he has planned for you. That's what he's going to do. once in the way you find the truth which leads to eternal life. Isn't that true? Anyone got any verses coming to mind on that one? The reason we look into the Old Testament is because everything we believe and hold close started in the Torah or the first five books of Moses. Everything that you know about salvation came from there. So when Christ said what he said about being the way, the truth, and the life, all the concepts started back in the Torah. All started in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's where it all started. So if you want to know what you believe today, don't hesitate to go back to the Old Testament and start reading through it and remember what the gospel says as you're reading, and you will find some phenomenal answers to questions you might have or wonderment you have. Romans 15:4 says this: for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, so that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. All right. Whatsoever things were written before Paul's time. So Paul took everything before and he's drawing lessons from it for his day, and we take everything for our day. Don't hesitate to look into the Old Testament to find out what the New Testament is saying. Everything has a foundation, everything has a beginning, and the gospel began in the Old Testament, as we call it. Everything that you've studied, everything that you've learned in the New Testament had its beginning prior to that time. And Jesus just magnified it. The Jews of Jesus' day knew the Torah so well, so he was directing them to their God-ordained history. And Jesus started with the way. There's lots of people say, follow me, follow me, follow me. We get it in today's world. Jesus says, I am the way. What was he referring to? He was referring to a manner of living, what you believe, what you work at. It's a pattern, it's a pathway or a roadway. And the way was very much on the Lord's mind when in Psalms 119, 1-6, and I want to read these, and I want you to listen to this view of the path that God wants us to be on. Blessed are the upright in the way, who walk in the law of Yahweh or Jehovah. Blessed are they who keep his testimonials and who seek him with all your heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your commandments carefully. Oh, that my ways were fixed to keep your precepts. Then I shall not be ashamed when I have respect to all your commandments. Do you love the Lord that much that your cry is, Lord, just corral me into your way? It's the only right way. It's the only true way. Just corral me into your way. That's like saying, I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, Lord, but push me into your way. It's the only proper way to go. You may not understand it at the time, but go with it anyway. This other verse I found quite intriguing. To find God's way and to walk in his way is not a vain pursuit. And I was surprised when I found this verse here. In Deuteronomy 32, 46 and 47, he says this. He said to them, set your heart to all the words which I testify among you today, which you shall command your sons to observe and to do. All the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. Just let that roll around in your mind a little bit. It is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And by this word, who's the word? Jesus is the very word of God. Scripture says, in the beginning God created. What does John 1 say? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And you shall prolong your days in the land where you go over Jordan to possess it. Is your life wrapped up in the word? Is your life wrapped up in the word, or is it wrapped up with economics? Is it wrapped up with your house? Is it wrapped up with your family? Is it wrapped up with your job? What's your life? What's your path in life? If you center it on the Lord, If you center it on his will, the word, which is Christ, will become alive to you. There's a gentleman here, and his name was Roy. He said one thing at our Bible study, and I know he won't mind this. He said, don't read the book, this book. Don't read this like you do a novel, because you can't do it. Don't read it from beginning to end and say, there, I've read God's word. All you've done is just perused it. That's all you've done. Don't read it like a novel. Take some time and get into it. Take some time to say, well, I got a question, Lord. How do I get this answered? Write the question down. Set it aside and keep reading, keep studying. Sooner or later, you will find an answer to that question. You will find an answer. God's word will not leave you open-ended, as it were. That's the beautiful part of God's word. Also in this set of verses, there's only one path for both Jew and Gentile. I'll read it first. In Numbers it says, and if a stranger stays with you, this is talking about Israel, or whoever is among you in your generations, and will offer an offering made by fire, a sweet savor to Jehovah, as you do, so shall he do. There's the beginning of all are inclusive in the salvation story. That's the beginning seed. So in the New Testament, where you read that both Jew and Greek are included in the household of faith, it goes all the way back to the beginning. God was saying to Israel, when you leave Egypt and you start out on the path I have for you, you will include not just yourselves, but anybody else who comes along. That's where that thought starts with. That's where the pattern begins. So we are included in the household of faith because God told Israel to include us way back then. That's why we're all included. No one person can claim, oh, it's just for me. It's just for, no. All are included. When Scripture talks about to the Jew first and to the Greek, it's referring to Jews and Gentiles. You and I are included because God saw to it that we were included. I think that's fantastic. I really do. And this is how we around our house look at Scripture, is that if Scripture says something we're not sure of, keep digging till you find an answer. So this is the kind of thing that we do. God does what he can to keep us in his path. In Exodus 23:20 here, let me just see if I can find it over here. Behold, I send an angel or a messenger before you to keep you in the way and to bring you to the place that I have prepared. Now, sure, it's talking about the promised land, but we also have a promised land that's coming for all of us. But God wants to keep you in his way, but he won't override your will. If you decide, look, Lord, please, that's just a bit too much. Can we postpone this? God won't violate your free will. But if you honestly say, dear God, here I am, take me, use me, where's your path? Look out, the ride's coming. The ride's coming. We have been in that different times over the years. And you can't imagine the twists and the turns that God has for you. You can't begin to put it on a board and say, I'm going to do this, this, and this in sequence. You can't do that. God's plans are so far above ours that you can't imagine. I'm going to read. Let's turn to John 14:6. You all know that one, but I was going to read it. But let's all look. If you have your Bibles, go to John 14:6. We all know this, but I just want to read this one. One to six. How many know what we're going to talk about, eh? This is God's path for you and me. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Are you going to be in his path to go where he's preparing? Do you want to be there? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither you're going, and how can we know the way? Now get a load of this. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. Jesus says, I am, I am, I am. That's the God we serve, folks. And in these days that are really getting tumultuous, I understand why Pastor is saying, get to know what you believe and know it quickly. Know it quickly. Understand what you believe. When Jesus said, I am the way, it didn't start with him at that point. It started with him back when he created everything. He said, I'm the beginning. I was in the beginning when all this was made. He says, I am the pathway. I am the life. And he says, I am the truth. He didn't say, I know of the truth. I am the truth. I never change. I never change. There's only one way to get to the Father, and it's through Jesus Christ. There aren't many roads. There aren't many avenues. There aren't many paths. One single way. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's Jesus Christ. Nobody else. Well, what about all these people running around saying, well, I can get my own spirituality. I can get my own scenario put together. And God says, no, you can't. It ain't going to work. It's not going to work. His love is so great for each and every one of us that he said, it's simple. There's one road. You don't come to a spot in the road where there's a dozen different roads. And he says, just pick whichever one you want. No, he says, there's one road. He makes coming to him so simple, but we humans make it so hard. But for Jesus, he said, it's so simple, there's one road. So if people come to you with this, well, I can build my own way, no, you can't. It's either through Jesus Christ or it's not at all. There's only one way to the Father. There are not many roads. And there's more, and get this, this was a surprise. There's more than 500 verses relating to God's way in the Old Testament. Before you ever get to the New Testament, there's over 500 references that God says, I am the way. So when Jesus said this, the Pharisees of his day, they knew full well what he was talking about. They fully understood what he was saying. He says, I am God. I'm the way. Now, just a minute. There's thousands of years of writings that all talk about the way, and you're saying you're God? That's what Jesus was saying. That's what he was saying. Is he Lord of your life? For Jehovah will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because he has pleased Jehovah to make you his people. Also, I, far be it from me that I should sin against Jehovah, ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. That's in Samuel. That's one of the Old Testament prophets saying, I don't care what's coming in life, I'm going to teach you God's way. We know here in Alberta, some pastors, they kind of fell in hard times with the law because they refused to quit preaching. We all know who they were, don't we? It's not that bad for all of us. But Samuel was saying, I will always preach and teach the word. It doesn't matter what is happening in the country, we will not cease to preach the word. Why? Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's why. There also comes times, and this happened to us once years ago, where we had to correct a brother in the Lord because of what he was saying and restore him to the faith. If you don't think that's hard, that's very hard. That is really tough. But when people don't read scripture properly and they get off on these funny tangents and they start affecting the body of Christ, it's up to whoever your elders are, whoever your pastor is, whoever your seniors in the faith are, to address the issue in love, concern, and restore that one if at all possible. I've only ever had to do that once, and it was rough. But sometimes you're called to do it. You're called to do it. Jesus is our life. In Deuteronomy 30, see if I can find that. In Deuteronomy 30 and 20, you Yeah, Deuteronomy 30 and 20, and just part of that verse says, so that you may love Yahweh your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life. Deuteronomy 30, 20, that's way back in the beginning, folks. That's way back in the beginning. He is your life. If anybody comes to you and says, oh, you got an old-fashioned religion, why don't you just scrap it? No, no, Jesus is my life. He's what I live for. There's no other reason to carry on much in this world, as messed up as it is, without Jesus Christ in the center. He's that beacon. On the coast, and this is not my notes, on the coast, when we would take a boat and go along the coast, especially in the dark, you would find what we call the headland. The farmers would probably find a post at the far end of the field. You'd point your tractor at it or something, right? And you would follow it. On the coast, we would use mountains, trees, whatever. And we would take a look at that in the dark, and we would focus on that, and we would have our maps and charts here, and we'd be watching that to make sure we're not hitting any rocks, no logs floating in the water, nothing's coming our way. And that's our pathway to success, because that headland's not going to move. It's going to stay. It's firm. And if we know where we are in the channel, we can go straight to it, and we're going to make it home. Jesus is the light at the end down there, and he says, follow me. He is our life. If you think about that, he's our life. How good does it get? How good does it get? The fear or the awesome reverence of Jehovah is the fountain of life. Proverbs 14, 26 and 27. The fear of the Lord, that's an English, old English version, but it should be awesome reverence. That awesome reverence of God. He is the fountain of life. And I'm sure many of you have found verses all over Scripture that talk about the fountain of life. The Messiah. Jesus, the Savior of the world. He's the fountain, the very essence of our life. That's in Proverbs, in case you want to know that, in 14, verses 26 and 27. Also in Proverbs 6, 23, it says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. God is trying to say, follow me, any which way he can. The commandment is the lamp, the law is the light, and the corrections of instructions are the way of life. God says, I'm going to discipline you, but it's for your good. It's for your good. But again, you notice all of these scriptures are in the Old Testament, because what we believe today started then. All of our foundation started then. You see, Christ was concealed in the Old Testament, but he is revealed in the New Testament. When they referred to the Word of God in the Old Testament, they're referring to Jesus, the Messiah. So Jesus was concealed. When he came, he was revealed, and he was the Word, the living Word. Interesting. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, Proverbs 14, 27 says. And then in the New Testament, Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15, 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. What have we been running after if this is all there is? I mean, it's a waste of effort. It's a waste of time. But this life is not the end. Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you, and I'm coming back for you. We have a heavenly hope. And we're going to make it one day when Jesus says, come on home, church, it's time. The banquet spread. Come on, it's supper time. Remember that old song? Hey, that excites me. And if you have any doubts, go to the Lord and say, Father, show me. Then get ready, because he's going to. Because he wants you in the right path with the right life with the Word, which is Jesus. He will show you. You should say, Lord, I need this confirmed. He will do it. Because I've seen it over and over again. He will do it. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. You know, people talk about finding the fountain of eternal youth or whatever. Well, just come to Jesus Christ and you got it. This tent's going to fade away one day, but the soul's going to live forever. So if you want the fountain of life, it's Jesus Christ, nothing else. Eternal youth, that's him. That's him. There's much more to life than just this world. So we've looked at a lot of scriptures, but I trust this will help you just remember that what you hear pastor talk about, and a lot of it comes from the New Testament, there's an Old Testament footing for it. There's an Old Testament footing for it. When I refer to the Torah, as I said, that's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. From those books, all the other books come from it. When Paul said that he was referring to things prior to his time, I found a place in Daniel where Daniel referred to the scriptures. You know what that tells me? In Daniel's day, the scriptures weren't compiled the way we have them today. So Daniel was referring back to the Torah, which was a recognized body of scripture. So Daniel's referring back to it. Paul comes along many years later. Now he's referring to all of the prophets and the Torah. Now we come along and we're referring to the whole amount of revealed scripture. See the progression there? A little bit gets bigger, gets bigger. And the final revelation will be when Jesus comes. The word will become everything to us. Scripture even says that in the New Jerusalem, they won't need the sun, the moon, and the stars because the word will be the light. The Lamb will be the light. Spiritually, physically, any way you want to look at it, he will be the light. His path leads home. His life leads home. The truth leads home. That's where we're all going. So if you have difficult days, remember, Jesus says, I am the life. I am the truth. I am the way. And we've seen some, I'm just trying to get my thoughts here, we've seen some difficult health issues in our family, but you know the guiding light of it all is? Jesus says, I am with you always. Always, 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 always. It doesn't mean what happens to you if this body quits, I'm with the Lord. So I'm never cut off from him. Never, never cut off. And when Tom started bringing these songs out this morning, I thought he's just running down a line of what I want to talk about, folks, because he is our light. He's our attention. He's what we should be focused on. And each one of you will have different gifts. Each one of you will have different abilities. Give them to the Lord and watch the path he sets you on. Just watch what happens. I encourage you to do it. Because if we can help the pastor in the work of the ministry, if you can help each other in the work of the ministry, those outside these doors are going to notice it. They'll notice it. Jesus said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. End of the age hasn't happened yet. So we've all got work to do still. Amen? Amen. God bless you. I'll turn it back to Tom. Where is he hiding back there? Let go and let God, and then you fill in the blanks. All right? Let go of yourself and let God, and then you just fill in the blanks back there because God's going to fill them in for you. God bless you.